Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's Foster Brooks. Oh, wrong. Hey, it's Dr. Jim. It's Dr. John with Pop Culture Stars. It's great to be here with you. I was just getting a tough time from my co-hosts about several things, which is great. I'm always glad. They can always say whatever they want to about me. But anyway, it's good to be here with everyone. BSC Nation, the rockin'est live nation I know of, I'm going to tell you that. So it's good to be here. I just returned from a three-day trip to Cherokee, North Carolina, working on the Cherokee Comic-Con, and from Clinton, Georgia, working on, of course, the upcoming Georgia Bigfoot Conference. So it's just going to be great. And we had a lot of fun up there, met a lot of my friends. I will say this before I start introducing everybody, because I have a short story to tell you. I was down in Commerce, Georgia, which is halfway between Greenville, South Carolina, and Atlanta. And so I'd take Highway 441 up to Clayton. All I'd ever heard about was Tallulah Falls. And so all of a sudden, there's a site that says Tallulah Falls Overlook. I said, well, I got a few minutes. I'm going to go out there. It's a building that is right on the edge of a cliff. And there's like a three-mile-wide chasm. It's about a mile deep with the most gorgeous waterfall you've ever seen. And I will tell you, Tallulah Falls is one of the prettiest places on this earth. And I highly suggest that everyone, if you ever want to take some time and go to a beautiful area, go to Northeast Georgia and go check out Tallulah Falls, the Tallulah Falls Overlook, or the Tallulah Gorge State Park. It's just absolutely spectacular. Costs $5 to park there at Tallulah Gorge State Park. It's free to check out the Overlook. So I think it's one of the nicest things I ever took time to do for myself, and I highly suggest it. I especially suggest it the weekend of October 18th through the 20th, the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. That's right in the middle of leaf season. And I've seen pictures of that gorge, that huge valley, during that time, and it's very special. So if you want to check some great colored leaf action, please check out North Georgia Mountains, and especially the Tallulah Falls Gorge. It's too beautiful. That's one of the nice things I got to do for myself in the last 3 days, and I certainly, I really do commend it for everybody. So, down the rock, throw the mantra of wrestling. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
Foster Brooks, it's such a pleasure. I'm a big fan. I've been a big fan ever since the D. Martin Rose and many wonderful performances. I mean, it's tremendous. I'm great to have you on the show tonight. My goodness.
Yeah. Did you see me on the Hollywood Squares? I outdid Paul Lynde, and that was tough.
Yes, indeed. And then I saw your cousin Captain Lassard in Police Academy with the goldfish. That's tremendous. I bought a goldfish just because watching Captain Lassard and the goldfish on his desk. That was amazing. Very inspiring.
Well, I'll go do that tomorrow. The last fish I had, I bought was a betta. And the betta, it jumped out of the tank, and I came back to the house, and it was on the floor dead. I'm serious. I'm not joking. I mean, it's like, what do you do? But anyway, yeah, thank you. Foster Brooks appreciates that, and so does Captain Lassard. And glad to have you with us as always. Yeah. David
Tremendous.
Atwell. David Atwell, what are you doing tonight?
What's going on? Everybody doing all right this evening?
Yeah. Oh.
Foster's doing good.
Getting ate up by every bug that's indigenous to eastern North Carolina. I don't know what in the world's going on with the bugs tonight, but something. Jesus, I mean. Uh-oh.
Music man is here.
Wow, John, you just said you came back from Cherokee, but I didn't realize you brought back Redbone with you. Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's tremendous.
Oh, speaking of that reminiscence of Music Man from WCW Retro, and I was actually on WSE Lounge this Monday night with Brian Vaughn. Oh, it was so much fun.
Stop it.
I was up Oh, it was. I got all the words that I like, so it was good. And yes, Music Man is here. We like Redbone, we do. That's a great old song. And Dave, we're glad you're here. Whether you're getting
did they play that for you, Cherokee?
No, we didn't. We were on the computer screen making sure the ticket thing was correct. No, it was a lot of work, but it was good. It's always good to see. I have some really good friends up there. They're nice people. So I look forward to everyone meeting when we come up. Start awesome. Popstro. Popstro's got dates, and they're excited to have you, and it's going to be a blast. So, and I hope Dave Atwell can come too. Cherokee Comic Con, August the 24th through the 26th, with Bigfoot Tours by Mandel. Thank you very much. It'll be fun. So glad Dave is here with us. We've just talked all over your intro, and that's fine. You'll get to talk plenty, so don't worry. Todd Sexton, how are you doing tonight?
From the Pop Culture Stars Outpost in the North, I am doing outstanding.
From the river, good riding man, young and brave. On the other side of the river, good and lovely, Indian maid.
Goodness gracious.
And here we go. I gotta give us credit tonight. Starting with the intro, as soon as we went on the air, we had our fastest tangent ever with the introduction from Foster Brook.
Well, all I got to say is, I just hope that Music Man can at some point tonight find Indian Lake by the Cow Sills, because that is one of my favorite songs.
You don't recognize Running Bear? Oh, my God.
Oh, I recognize that one.
That's a classic.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
you brought back Running Bear and Redbone with you back from Cherokee. That's tremendous.
Yeah, well, I hope that I bring back Cow Sills, because I've had some ghostly experiences with them. But that's okay. I'll tell about them later. If that tends
oh
to
my
show
God.
Up,
tremendous.
I know. I mean, what fun. I mean, this is the only place, the only network that will go live. I mean, thank God, Brady Hicks. We love you. You're the best. We're going to have Brady on here one night soon and let him hang out with us. That's what he needs to do. But anyway, tonight is our forum, because we haven't had one in a while. We had that wonderful lady, Melissa, last week. She's an artist. She's a great artist. She'll be with us at the Lizard Man Festival, which is coming up June 1st in beautiful, sunny Bishopville, South Carolina, where the crowds never come in. Actually, they do. It's downright. But that's okay. It's all good. So, all right, we'll start. Our big question is, what is the most interesting thing that you have seen this week? Now, I've got a good one, but I will wait. I will go number four in line here, because mine will, of course, cause some concern and some consternation with all of you guys. So I'm going to open the floor. Who wants to go first with their complaint or their excitement for the week?
Well,
oh no. Can't get better than that.
Play more.
Music Man, I'm glad you've come over to our show. We missed you on WCW Retro. Music Man, we're glad you're here.
I know, right?
Now we know.
You're bringing the classics back from Cherokee, John. Only on Pop Culture Stars.
Only on Pop Culture Stars, the greatest hour on the internet radio, and it really is. It's just a lot of fun. All of our fans, thank you for listening. All several of them. We have quite a number of fans and everything. It's great. All right, I'm going to pick on Dave Atwell. Dave Atwell, you've been too darn quiet. What is the thing you're going to complain about? Well, you have plenty to complain about, and I know that. Or the thing that excited you. So you're on at bat. at bat.
All right. Well, I can tell you the most unexciting thing that I saw this week was probably that finale for Game of Thrones. And, you know, for folks that haven't seen it, you know, unless you've been living under a rock or in solitary confinement, you've probably heard, not the details, but heard that it was very lackluster and short in expectations. And without going into the gory details about the failure to close the deal with that series, it's amazing looking back at how many shows have had that happen. People speak about Lost. People speak about How I Met Your Mother. How The Sopranos is one of my favorite go-tos. And I guess to me, and we've spoken about this a bunch of times, that your responsibility to your fan base, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter the mood you're in or the amount of success you're having at the time, but for your fan base, you got to be there. You got to be there. Otherwise, you are basically, you know, pissing all over your fan base, which you cannot do. And for the amount of success and the amount of just rabid love for that series, for those showrunners just to kind of drop and run the way they did. Shameful, awful, and really stinks because, you know, that show's been on for the last 10 years and folks have spent Sunday nights after Sunday night sitting in front of the television set earnestly watching that. And for them just to kind of cut and run the way they did this season, it's not very becoming of a professional, and shame on them. That's my two cents.
All right. Well, that's a good rant and complaint. That sounds like Dave Al. Pastro, what is your complaint or your excitement of the week?
What is this?
What was that?
Blades in the Saddles. Wow.
I like it.
Thank you for Blazing Saddles, Papa Stro.
I can't. I'm speechless at this point. Okay.
Tell Music Man. He's
all the
mirrors.
They're farmers.
Whatsoever.
Oh my goodness. Blazing Saddles. John's really outdoing himself tonight.
Yeah. Music Man's really killing.
You sure you didn't drink some of that fire water and peace pipe down there in Cherokee? I brought it back here.
I promise. I was busy working.
Wow.
I was working trying to put this massive Comic-Con together. Trying to get some great things happening, which they are. And
Massive.
Everyone's excited.
The Game of Thrones deal was pretty unique. Oh, good Lord. And I don't know what was that worse, that or the True Blood ending. The True Blood ending was god-awful. And it was just like the writers just threw their papers up in the air and started having the puff-puff pass party, more or less. Just like
they started having the celebration before they finished, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it so half backwards from the journey we've been watching with all these characters. It's just and it was the thing is, anybody who's following Game of Thrones, we were expecting so much more than the here's your crap, take it or leave it type finale.
Yeah.
Oh, it was god.
You know who really comes out ahead in this whole thing is George R.R. Martin, because now what he's done, he's let these guys kind of test drive, if you will, the ending of the story. So though it's been framed out in his mind, and I'm sure he's, you know, whenever you're writing a book, you frame out certain, you know, events that go on and everything. But this guy is sitting back grinning ear to ear because all he's doing is looking, going, it's kind of like when you go to a dance with your buddy and he walks up and asks the chick to dance in a certain way and she tells him no, and you're back there going, okay, don't ask her that way. That guy, for all you know, might have had every intent on it ending the way it ended on television, but now he has the ability to go back and go, okay, that didn't work for those guys, so let me do it this way. And, wow, I mean, that guy come up smelling like a rose in this whole thing. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you'll create a much better ending. You'll create a much better ending. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, I got a quick question.
Yeah.
Aren't you a little old to be going to dances?
No.
Oh, man.
I mean, come on. Daenerys going out the way she did, really? It just, I mean, the first half of that show, she was like power hungry, and the speech she made, and you can't tell me that dragon, supposedly as smart as that dragon was, Dragon, right, knowing darn good and well that he didn't know that Jon was going to kill her. And besides that, why is Jon killing her? He supposedly loves her. Why is he killing her? It just makes no sense. It just goes against his character altogether. I mean, it just it just made no sense. And Cersei, we were so expecting a showdown with Cersei, or either Daenerys or Arya or maybe even Tyrion or somebody, but there was no climactic showdown at all. It was just her and her brother and Bricks falling on top of him. Really?
Yeah. She got the most romantic finish out of the whole damn series.
With her brother.
Makes you feel really bad for Hodor. You know what I mean?
I mean,
so,
and they kept building this the whole time. Jon was going to be the guy for the throne. Jon's going to be the guy for the throne, right? And look what happened to him.
He's got a lousy.
And Bronn, come on, Bronn. Oh.
Yeah, that was very and, you know, the bad news is that it gives me the creeps about other series that I'm around to watch, like The Walking Dead and that kind of stuff. And, you know, my question is, oh, boy, you know, what are they going to do, you know, to when it comes time to wrap it up for them? Because you got to figure that the end's got to be close to being near for that series, too. I mean, they've been going for 10 years, 11 years, and it's been running out of gas. And, you know, I said the minute they eliminated the Carl Rick dynamic in that story that the whole story would just kind of fray, and it has. So, and then, of course, you know, with what's her name, Danae Gurry or whatever her name is, plays Michonne. She's got to go make Black Panther 2. So she is checking out. So she's going to do like they had Rick do this past season. She'll do two or three episodes and then fade into the sunset. And the whole series will be left on the shoulders of Carol and Daryl, which to me aren't very – they're likable characters, but they're not compelling characters, I guess the word I'm looking for. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they try to knock that one off.
What happened to The Cure? What happened to all this talk about The Cure? Did he, like, forget about it a couple seasons ago? I mean, isn't that the point? So the whole darn thing, find a cure? These darn walkers that roaming the earth? What's the deal there?
Dragonstone, that's when you get Arya in the mix, get her to fix it. That's what she did for everybody else, right?
Well, I mean, honestly, Jon should have been the one killed the Nightwalker, hands down. He should have been the one because he had the connection with the Nightwalker. Him and the Nightwalker had even though they're mortal enemies, had this mutual respect for one another because Jon was one of the few humans at all that could kill one of the Nightwalkers, which he did in the Battle of North, if you recall.
Yeah.
Where his army almost got wiped out by the Walkers, but Jon was the only few that was standing and escaped.
Yeah, it was, and like I said, the bad news is that it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth for anything else. You know what I mean?
Where well, Dexter had a bad ending, too.
Yeah, that was another one. Yep.
Yeah.
But what you do is it kind of gives you the, it makes you hesitate to get attached to another series. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, it's that old fool me once, you know, thing. And it's just a darn shame because even the actors, and again, go to YouTube and look it up. These actors are starting to come out now that, you know, they can't get fired from the job because the job's over. So they're coming out and actually saying what was on their mind, and some of the stuff they're saying is just, you know, and you got to hand it to these folks. It's, you know, they've been working together and doing this for 10, 11 years, and for it to go out that way, and their characters, for crying out loud, you know, these people have poured their heart and souls in these characters, and just to have the two showrunners just totally
and Dragon the dragon, he's been eliminating people right and left throughout this whole series, right? But his mama gets killed by Jon Snow. Don't tell me Jon wouldn't have been toast. Dragon would have fried his tail alive. From murdering his mom.
There was a lot of plot holes in that thing, and it just, I don't know, like I said, just real disappointing, and, you know, you just wanted more as a fan, so, you know, you feel like you, you know, for every time you've spent an hour watching an episode, for every, get a piece of merchandise with Game of Thrones that you've ever purchased, blah, blah, blah. It feels real disingenuous for these two showrunners just cut and run. And from what I understand, HBO offered them 10 shows and said, we will pay for 10 more shows, whatever length you want, to close this thing out. But from what I understand now is that Benioff and the other DB, whatever his last name is.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber, right? Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, those two guys are supposed to be going into doing another Star Wars trilogy.
Oh,
so,
joy, yeah.
Yeah, so basically what they did is said, no, we can do it in 6 episodes because they were rushing that to quickly move on to the Star Wars thing. And yeah, and you hear that, and it's like, wow. So it isn't just one of these things where you guys screwed up. You did the cut and run. You did the snake oil salesman on everybody. So I don't know how they're able to grocery shop right now, to be honest with you. They probably got to have people. Because I imagine there's some people out there wanting to whoop their tails over this. So, and I don't blame them.
You know, I was worried at first with this Endgame Avengers movie because of this whole Captain Marvel fiasco. Oh, geez.
Right.
But thank God the Russo brothers salvaged that one. Boy, did they. I mean, the movie was epic. It was amazing. Thanos got to backhand Captain Marvel into oblivion. It was wonderful. And Iron Man was the one to save the day, even though, you know, he, God rest his soul, Iron Man, but one of my favorite characters in the Marvel series. But it was an epic, epic movie. And any of you guys that haven't seen it yet, it's amazing.
And you can see where they actually put some thought into it. You know what I mean? As that movie progressed, you can see where they actually tried to tie things off correctly. And so, hey,
see,
man,
now if you go
you
back
know,
and watch the old movies, so you can see all the tie-ins to this
exactly.
One.
And that's the way you give. That's the way you give back to your fans. The fans that made you rich.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to give back to them. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just a shame. But kudos
hey,
to those guys.
There's always Breaking Bad. At least
yeah.
Breaking Bad was pretty awesome all the way through.
Yeah, they didn't do bad right there at all.
No pun intended. Exactly. Well, now we know. Thank you, Papa Stroh, for your commentary. Todd, what was your complaint or your excitement for the week?
I'll go with this. I'm going to default to things with people as I tend to do. I thought it was pretty darn cool. Late in the week, last week I get a text, and it's my son wanting a couple recipes. So I shoot them out to him. I'm 4:30 in the morning, Friday morning. I launched them out to him because he had asked for them Thursday night. After I'd done my old man morning maintenance stuff, I give him a call later Friday evening, ask him what's up that you're, you know, he was asking for a couple things. Well, he and his wife, his wife, actually, she bought them. And all women out there, for your husband, keep this in mind because this is a really good call. For his part of the housewarming gift from the wife to him, she bought him a smoker. Good combination,
oh, wow.
Grill smoker. So, yeah, so, well, she knows that's just, you know, she's going to get the benefit from that one. So, yes, wise, it's, you know, it's worth thinking about. They were doing the housewarming, and he was working on doing ribs, and so he needed my proprietary rib rub. And he wanted a separate recipe for one of our favorite family foods, our barbacoa. So that was pretty solid. So that's basically the way my weekend started. So I got to tell you, weekends don't start much better than that in my mind. You know, you got your son, his wife celebrating their first house, or they're defaulting to you for recipe stuff and guidance on preparing things. It's, you know, the simple basics, you know, they could have got it catered or whatever, but it was all about doing that labor of love, you know. So where you're sitting there putting those 6 hours in on the smoker, and it's important doing things like that, and it's great that despite the distance, I was absolutely able to share it, or, you know, they were able to share it with me. So that was pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's a people thing. You know, I kind of default to that stuff. I got to tell you guys, I got a workmate. Works out of D.C., another separate portion of the Marine Corps up there, and he's a mass sergeant in the Marine Corps. His young daughter, late last year, was diagnosed with leukemia. Not only does she have that burden, but she already has autism. You know, she's autistic. Well, the Marine Corps coming through for him, supporting him, the folks up there at that particular area, Heather, Richard, Matt, y'all know who I'm talking about. Appreciate the way you guys are taking care of the mess on. Yeah, he's been able to take care of business. And I had realized it had been a couple months since I had sent him, you know, an encouragement text, things like that. So I shoot him a text last night. He shoots me one back within seconds. Just a couple quick things, you know. It was just one of y'all know how I'll do it. I do, you know, hey, you know, haven't said anything in a while. Just because you're gone, you're not forgotten. All our love, big hugs. And I sent it from my work team. Within 5 minutes of texting, we were talking on the phone. And of all the things we covered that are very real, he said, baby girl's got a 99% chance of full recovery, guys.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Good to hear that.
That's been pretty
marvelous.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. Pretty
Praise God. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it, you know, when. It's such a great freaking story, and it's so god awful humbling to be part of it, and even in such a little way. And you know, you got a big love, and you know, big love to Nelia. You know, we all love you, and I got the links to Lucretia and Rich, like I promised you I would. Thanks, brother. So, big shout out to the Mass Art.
Excellent.
That's a great one, Todd. It really is. It's always good to hear when someone has something good happen to them. I guess my excitement was from the article on Fox News today, reminding us that the Navy is putting forth different and newer standards for examining and investigating unidentified aerial phenomena, better known as UFOs. It just thrilled me to see that article come fly, and I shared it a couple of my pages. And so, yes, not only is Bigfoot real, but so are UFOs, and the Navy is corroborating that with these new standards for investigating unidentified aerial phenomena. That's what they want to call them. UAP.
I thought I broke that a couple weeks back.
Well, they started elucidating some of the new standards today, and it was great. So, yep. And for all the things that I saw last night on Paris Mountain in the upstate of South Carolina, all the crazy blinking lights, all these things, it sure didn't look like planes going into Greenville-Spartanburg Airport. Yep. Go U.S. Navy, they're there. So that's what excited me. I know everybody's excited about that, and you know, and just hanging out with Bigfoot, it was pretty good yesterday and today. Bigfoot was all cool. He was excited. He's looking forward to Georgia Bigfoot Conference. I mean, what more can you say? Let's go back around the room, and who's got a question they want to ask us? Somebody's got a question they want to ask the panel. Who's that? We'll all ask the question. All right, Dave, you open your mouth first. What question do you have that
John,
you would like to ask?
Are you willing to submit your tax returns to Congress by the end of the week?
As soon as I get the last 2 years back, sure. My accountant has got the last 2 years, so as soon as he gets them back to me and I get them mailed in, I'll be glad. It will be embarrassing, but I'll be glad to submit. They would call that comic relief.
It kills me watching those guys carry on up there about the tax returns, and I'm going, you know what? Do you guys honestly think you got to where you are right now with absolutely not one skeleton in your closet? So, it cracks me up.
Please,
it's,
I would like to take somebody that's long-term in Congress. Take somebody like a Pelosi.
Pelosi.
And you can find out who do we got on the right that's been there just as long. Let's pick somebody like that. Let's see what their first tax return was when they went into office. Let's see what it was 10 years into the office. And let's see what it is now. And you think we can't tell a story?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those, you know, quit throwing rocks at the glass houses, folks. You know, you're making a lot of money just to argue up there, and it's sad. It's gotten to the point where you don't even want to watch the news anymore, and I'm one of those guys that since 9/11, I've always tried to keep the news on, you know, somewhere at all times, just in case, you know. And, yeah, I mean, it's just absolute squabbling back and forth and a bunch of heartache, and I'm like, good grief, I'm not watching this anymore. I've had my fill. But, yeah, I think it's awful funny. They just keep trying and trying and trying to find something on the president. And what they're going to do, they're going to be so hell-bent and determined to find something on them that they're going to forget that in, what, another 17, 18 months, we'll be at the ballot boxes again and likely re-electing him because they're too darn busy acting like a bunch of children, you know? So, which is fine.
Yes,
sir. You know, leave it up to us. You know, that's why my vote counts. That's why y'all's vote counts. I think we're better judges of character than any of those nitwits in Washington are anyway. So, yeah, by all means. So there's my rant. I'm sorry, that wasn't a question. That was just a rant. My bad.
No, you asked me for my tax returns. And I admitted my accountant, David, has them. So as soon as they're out, I'll submit them to you, Dave, okay?
All is good, right?
if all is good, well, something will be good or bad. I don't really care. We'll see what happens. So that's all
Wouldn't
good.
Wouldn't want you getting impeached. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, if I'm impeached, who's going to be the next president of Pop Culture Stars? Oh, my goodness.
Foster Brooks.
Foster Brooks. Papa Stroh, what question do you have for us? I know you've got a good question. You always do.
I really don't. But
okay.
I really don't have anything that comes to mind, honestly.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
Question wise.
Comment wise?
No, not really. I got
You're
nothing.
Perfect. You're perfect tonight. Todd, what have you got?
All right, I got something. It's just an indirect observation I came up with based on a piece of humor. So the building I work in is 28 stories. I may have dropped a part of this before, but I've since worked on the routine, and it's gotten a little bit funnier, but we all know how a lot of buildings won't do a 13th floor. And we also know that in buildings that tall, a lot of times there's more than one bank of elevators, one working the top half and one working the bottom, you know, one bank working the bottom half. And so my bank of elevators working the top half of the building is, you know, 18 on up. And so the bit I came up with the other day was I was in the elevator, started making these crazy noises. The digital readout for what floor you're on just started spinning. It formed into a pentagram. And then it went to number 13. The doors opened, and it was my mother-in-law's.
Yeah, buddy. That's definitely Mark of the Beast.
So it occurred to me, maybe the last not politically correct target for jokes
is actually in-laws. Is that possible? We have one space thing left for jokes.
No.
In-laws are always good target.
No, when I make my comment, I have something a little bit more. A little bit more mainstream that'll get everybody riled up.
Well, given that everybody's been told, given and butthurt over things, I think in-laws are still a safe target, and it occurred to me that, good grief, we finally found a safe target.
Be careful about targets, Todd. We'll have the men in black here. So be careful about that one. And
yeah, You want to talk about that? Anybody that thinks the old phone monitoring thing takes a while to respond, just for the record, all that shit is so instantaneous. Anybody, if you've ever talked to anybody in the business, people, just for the record, you don't matter what media, short of soup cans and string, your conversations are being monitored and in real time. Just letting you know.
What about the tinfoil hats? I mean, you know.
I don't think that's gonna help.
Okay, well, that's okay. Yeah, you know they're being monitored, and I have so many of them that are just so frightening. It's just, I figure they already know I talk about this stuff, so it doesn't matter. So speaking of that, my question to everybody is, what's the status of your favorite conspiracy theory? I'm dying to ask that question all night, and I finally figured out how to ask it. Todd, we'll go Todd, Dave, and Papa Stro, and then I'll finish up. Todd, what is the status of your favorite conspiracy theory?
I tend to default, and I've said, and I don't know that it necessarily even qualifies anymore as a conspiracy theory, because I think it's, like you pointed out earlier in the podcast, it's getting more real. The fact that we are not alone, and it's the mathematics indicate that it's going to happen. There's stuff out there. The whole thing is, how are we doing things right or wrong? We've got one side of things that are, we want to send a probe out into deep space that's giving what very easily could be a highly civilized, or not so much civilized, but highly developed, much more developed, group of a life form or multiple life forms directions to our planet, and we have no way to compete with them. And I think we're better off with doing the passive sonar concept of listening for that stuff. But yeah, the Carl Sagan began giving that, providing a message and information. I don't think that was the greatest thing we ever did. But it's good to know that even our, we're getting, thanks to the internet and to a degree, a more open society, that there is more recognition about the unidentified aerial phenomena, because I don't believe they use UFOs anymore. I believe it's unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs, and it just don't sound as good to the ear, I don't think. But that's
okay.
Absolutely real, and I don't know. I'm just kind of digging the concept that it's being acknowledged.
That is cool. I agree. Dave Atwell, what is the status of your favorite conspiracy theory? I cannot meet B. Annabelle Smith.
Oh, no, it's definitely not. Trust me. I was speaking to you earlier on about the Netflix series called Conspiracies, simply enough. I think it's like 13 different episodes and everything. And they're not, you know, Bigfoot Loch Ness monster type things. They're more like assassination plots, terrorist attacks, those kind of things, the conspiracies behind them. One of the ones that they touched on, though, was about the moon landing. And, of course, we've spoken on it here before about how, you know, the moon landing was fake and they filmed it and blah, blah, blah. Well, the episode actually went deeper into something else that I wasn't even aware of, is that there are people out there who felt like the Apollo, what was that, the Apollo 3, the one that caught on fire, that to a certain extent could have possibly been a setup. And to me, I hear that, and, you know, I'm a guy who, you know, grew up watching the right stuff and all that kind of jazz, so I'm thinking, huh, you know, how – and the way this guy – and there was a couple guys out there that were, you know, explaining what they thought. But apparently Gus Grissom, who at the time was kind of like – almost like a Michael Phelps during the Olympics. He was like a national hero. But he was a very outspoken gentleman. And at the time, Russia, of course, so we thought, was winning the space race. And the amount of pressure being put on NASA to one-up the Soviets. And then you've got Gus Grissom, who is speaking out against the wheel, so to speak. And he was always quick to say, hey, yeah, it's a wonderful rocket, but this is wrong with it. And apparently on the inner workings of NASA, he was not a very favored person by the hierarchy because he didn't mind speaking his, what was on his mind. So I guess a day or two before they went to go launch that Apollo mission that he passed away in, he took a coat hanger and put a lemon on it and hung it on the side of the vessel and took a picture of it. Okay?
No.
Now, you got to understand, they didn't have social media back then. So, of course, when he does it, I'm sure it's just a matter of him taking pics and passing around the office type thing. But the guys were actually speculating the fact that NASA actually sabotaged that vessel to make it look like an accident, but to ultimately quiet Gus Grissom. And it's very, very interesting, and it makes you stop and scratch your head for a minute. And for as many times as I said, I will quit believing in conspiracies when people quit doing sketchy things, it's got to make you wonder. And it's a darn shame that, you know, two other men had to die with them, if that's the case. But, yeah, it's a very interesting series. I mean, they got stuff on Hoffa on there. You know, of course, the Third Reich and their kind of, you know, their doings and all. But, yeah, very, very interesting. They're usually about 45 minutes an episode. And worth a watch. It'll definitely, and there's one on there about, you know, UFOs and you know, a government cover-ups and that kind of stuff with that, too. But very interesting series, well worth the watch. So give that a look. But that was a new conspiracy that I had never heard of. And it just and what was the other one, Dr. John, I was talking to you about? It was the Robert Kennedy assassination, where there was a witness that said that the bullets went – Sirhan came up behind Robert Kennedy and shot him. But they said he was bleeding. The entrance wounds were on the front of his head, you know, in his face. So how was he able – you know, and they were speaking on how Sirhan was the Manchurian candidate and all that kind of jazz, how he's brainwashing and thinking of stuff and everything. But, yeah, it was a very, very interesting series. That's another one that's on it. Well worth the watch.
All righty. Well, thank you, sir.
I got to ask, did any of those conspiracies talk about the FDA and the loud food additives for complacency, I guess, or manipulation coming down the people?
No, I don't recall that one being on there, which, but I guess that would result in a UFO also, which is otherwise known as an unidentified fried object. But
are you talking about ninth grade? Yeah.
Yeah, the lunch.
Ninth grade
food.
Cafeteria. Got it. About that one. All right. Very good. Papa Stro, how's your favorite conspiracy theory doing?
The same as it was the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that. Still
which
there.
What is that?
No matter how things seem to change, they seem to remain the same.
Hmm.
So that is your conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one,
actually. Usually fact of life, actually.
We are,
that's about the truth.
You say we're destined to repeat our same errors.
Yep.
Amen. We're
doing
that's
it
right. now. As
right.
we
well,
speak.
I was introduced to a brand new conspiracy theory today. And I'm afraid it's not a conspiracy theory, and I'm not joking. I was told that there is a certain set of chemtrails that are being sprayed on certain segments of the population to make people less smart and less aware of what's going on.
Oh.
And it's
well, you see that every day. I mean, look how many sheep there are out there.
Yep.
Look how many sheep there are out there.
Look at
you see that every day. You see it every day. Look how many sheep are out there. It's insane.
Yeah, the sheeple are there. And but yeah, it's true. It was explained as a conspiracy theory. I said that's not a conspiracy theory. That's just the way it is. I mean every day I deal with people that are less and less aware of what's going on, and it's like it's working. I guess I took the antidote, or maybe I didn't. But we'll see. So that was my conspiracy theory moment. I thought it would be fun to talk, and I think it would be a great time for us to do some plugs, because plugs are always important. So I'm going to go Todd, Dave, Papa Stro, and then me. And then this one's one for the record books. Todd, what you got to plug tonight?
All right, I got I'm going to go with something real simple. We all know that there's a ton of seasonal foods, seasonal flavors. Let's face it, you get anywhere near the fall, it's going to be everything stinking pumpkin. God almighty.
Ask Dunkin' Donuts.
So I'm going
right.
to plug. There is a we all live in areas that have those seasonal shit. John, you might be just a tad far enough south, but a lot of the ice cream stands in a lot of the part of the country, they're seasonal. They close down in the major portion of the winter. Summertime, they'll open up. They'll have all their ice cream goodies, and they'll serve a lot of those, like, fair and carnival-type foods. You know, it's one of the places you can go get a good sausage and, you know, grilled pepper and onions-type sandwich or sub and things
Absolutely.
Like that. Well, this particular place in Elyria, Ohio, called Twist and Shake, they've got a ton of flavors for their milkshakes. It's one of my mom's favorites, and my brother John come through there on Monday or Tuesday and got mom taken care of. But right there in the peak of summertime season, as most ice cream stands do, they actually have eggnog shakes, milkshakes. So I just thought I'd go ahead and give them a, you know, a plug on air there, Twist and Shake. They're on Cleveland Street in Elyria, Ohio, for having one of those out-of-season flavors of eggnog shakes and making old lady happy. Because my mother, my brother described my mother, the way she was working the straw. He said she was like a mosquito that had connected to an artery.
Thank you, Todd. That was that imagery unlike I've ever heard. But thank you, kind sir. Well, that's a great plug. Dave Atwell, what are you plugging tonight?
Oh, shoot. Mine is more of a personal local one. As you know, every Wednesday night, I usually try to enjoy a cold adult beverage and a cigar while we come together and have our conversation on Wednesday night. But Godfather Cigars on Western Boulevard here in Jacksonville, I'm telling you, those guys are fantastic. And Todd's been in there. I don't know if Stroh's been in there or not, because Stroh doesn't participate in the cigar smoking thing, but for all the right reasons, of course. Because you can't be up in the ring going that. But those guys
sure
are fantastic, and they when you know Kevin, my partner, and I decided to move on to our own business and giving the finger to the man, they immediately jumped on and said whatever we can do to help, we'd be tickled to death. And lo and behold, I walk in there the other night to get a couple cigars, and our business card is sitting right there up front, right at the door. And it done my heart so good. And, you know, for those guys to support us the way they are, and to be honest with you, my wife and I, she'll burn the smaller gauges of cigars and everything, and we'll go to the waterfront sometimes and just have a have a drink, have a cigar, watch the sunset on the water, or sometimes we sit out here on the deck and just listen to the crickets, a little bit of music and everything. But every time we go there, we're treated like family. And first name. And, you couldn't ask for a better bunch of guys. So Eddie owns the place, Rodney and the crew over there. Thank you. Because, if it wasn't for you guys, I would have to go some less reputable place to get my cigars. And they're just a good bunch of guys trying to run a business and a great place to hang out, great value. So if you're in the Jacksonville-Onslow County area and you want a cigar that's correctly handled, correctly priced, and correctly served, get down to Godfather's down there on Western Boulevard. Fantastic bunch of guys. So much love to them.
And they have a hell of a selection of old school pipe tobacco, too.
Yes, they do. Tons of it.
A very heartfelt plug. Papa Stroh, what you got to plug this week?
WCW Retro tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. RadioVNCNation.com. Also, this weekend, I'm going to be on set shooting an upcoming music video. I'll let you guys let more about the details as I get them. Season 3 of the Dust Series begins May 30th on the respected Facebook page and YouTube channel. Just type in DUSK Series. To check out both and for updates. Two films in the works, the summer Supernatural Assassins and the feature horror film will be on set for throughout the summer, as well as a possible film on set for this fall, which information will be put out on that the beginning of June. So be looking out for that as well. But for all information about TV, wrestling, film, merchandise, go to my official website, thestroh.com. Click on the merchandise link for all the latest Papa Stroh merchandise. On Twitter at Stro, Instagram Stro Maestro, subscribe to the YouTube channel at Stro Maestro, and then Patreon at patreon.com/PapaStro. And I also was going to ask you too, the Lizardman Festival is coming up soon, right?
May 31st to June 1st.
May 31st to June 1st?
Yes, on Friday afternoon, about 6 o'clock, we'll start the Dewey Bass Band. They're going to be doing their Elvis tribute. Then we're going to have telescopes watching the stars up until midnight.
Right.
And then Saturday is the festival. So it'll be a lot of fun at the South Carolina Button Museum.
All right. And also, May 31st is the magical date for the new Godzilla movie coming out, King of Monsters.
Godzilla.
As well.
Godzilla.
So, Dust Series Season 3, May 30th. Godzilla, King of the Monsters, May 31st. And that weekend also is the Lizardman Festival. And where and when is it going to be held at again?
That will be at the South Carolina Button Museum, Highway 34 in Lee County, South Carolina. Check out lizardmanfestival.com, and it'll be a blast. We've got a lot of cool people coming. Matt Delph will be there.
As long as it's not the cotton, as long as it's not the cotton museum, because I'm not going back there.
No, sir.
I'm not. No.
We're at the South Carolina Button Museum, and it'll be fun. It will be fun. I promise. And we got a new cast of interesting people coming, and Mark Muncy, the author of Eerie, Florida, will be there as one of our featured speakers, along with a lot of other great people. We'll be talking about Lizardman. We'll be talking about Mothman. We'll be talking about Bigfoot. We'll be talking about Eerie, Florida. We'll be talking about Papa Stro. We'll be talking about, I mean, all kinds of stuff. You can't get anything like that anywhere but the Lizardman Festival, second annual, and more to come. So thank you for asking. That's a good question. And I will say that that was my plug right there. And my other plug is that next week I've got some major announcements for the Cherokee Legends Comic-Con. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're getting some things put together, so we're going to have a lot of new announcements next week. Check out CherokeeComicCon.com. It'll be all there about the middle of next week. We should have some new announcements come in. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come see Papa Stro there. I'll be there. Hopefully Dave Atwell will be there, and everyone will be there. But what I'm going to say on behalf of the Pop Culture Stars, I've got a UFO outside waiting to pick me up and take me to sleep, because it's been a long 3 days, and my whole crew will hear from me tomorrow. Because if I don't go to that UFO and go to La La Land, I may not be alive tomorrow. So I'll talk to everybody soon, later tomorrow. I'll talk to all of you listening to the show next week. Although tomorrow night at WCW Radio at 9 p.m., we have got Dr. J, Jonathan Elias, who was the producer for Art Bell and Coast to Coast AM at 11:30, special time, 11:30 p.m. tomorrow night on Scary Cast. Big blockbuster interview. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things. Dr. J has seen it all, so it'll be Dueling Doctors and on behalf of the show, it'll be me and Papa Stro. Devin is on a boat, so he can stay on a boat. I'm just teasing. He is actually on a boat doing a performance, so that's great. We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, WCW Retro, 11:30 p.m., Scary Cast with Dr. J, Jonathan Elias. So it'll be fun. I expect to see everybody tomorrow night, especially on WCW. So thanks a lot to everybody. The UFO is screaming at me. I'm going over there. They're going to let me in and take me on up. So we'll see you guys next week. Same bat time, same bat channel on none other than Pop Culture Stars. Thank you, POC Nation. Bye, y'all.
All right. Good night, there gentlemen.
Go, Foster Brooks.
Good call. Well done. Absolutely.